Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, you know, we've talked to several pediatricians and medical professionals who work with children, especially as they relate to the Children's Hospital, which will open later this year. One theme that's been prevalent throughout these conversations is children are not just small adults. Well, our next guest is sitting across from me nodding his head. Let me introduce to you Dr. Luke Probst, PharmD, Associate Director of Pediatric Pharmacy Services at SUNY Upstate. Good morning, Dr. Probst.
Good morning, Tricia.
How are you? And welcome. You're a new guest, and we're glad to have you here. You know, pharmaceutical drugs, that's not something we've really discussed in when it comes to just children and focusing on children. We've had a couple of headlines that have regarded that, but certainly not the broad topic. So I think this will be very interesting. I'd like to focus on a couple of different things. One is the differences in pharmacy and the approach for children and adults. And then another, you have a residency program starting up later on this year.
That's correct.
We'll talk about both of them. First, let's talk about the differences in your approach to pharmaceutical drugs for children and adults.
Well, there's a much greater complexity of drug use in children than in adults for a variety of reasons. First of all, you have to consider just sheer size of the patient. In adults, we pretty much have people who weigh anywhere from 100 to 250 or so pounds. And the pediatric age range really encompasses babies from as little as 1.5 pounds to 250 pounds for the adolescent on the high school football team. So even determining what dose to give a child is so often driven by that patient's specific body size that it adds an entire layer of complexity to drug therapy in a child that we don't often see or don't see as frequently in the adults.
Well, do children, because they're not, say, as developed as adults, do they process drugs differently in their bodies?
Oh, absolutely. And that's the entirely second area that really warrants discussing. Children, when they're born, do not have fully functioning organs, kidneys and livers, which are the primary organs that handle drugs that are administered. And so there are some developmental changes that occur over time, certainly within the first month of life, but even within the first year or so beyond that, that we often have to take critical account of before we select a specific drug to use in the child and to select a specific dose that child may receive based on how young they are and what we assume their level of organ function to be for those two systems.
Well, now, I also want to make clear, there are not a lot of pediatric pharmacists out there in our local drugstores, are there?
No, definitely not.
This is mostly a function of you being in the hospital, so you're dealing with really sick children.
Oh, exactly. You know, the training that pharmacists get in pharmacy school with regard to pediatric drug therapy probably is a couple hours of teaching.
And that's it?
That's about it.
So they're still back in that mindset of children are small adults?
Well, we realize that they're not,
okay.
Even if it's not our daily practice. But certainly what a pharmacist in a community pharmacy may know about pediatric drug therapy and what a specialist in a children's hospital who works in pediatrics specifically may know about a given drug or set of drugs is often very different. And we often get calls from outside pharmacies with requests for assistance on confirming appropriateness of drug dosing and such.
That's very interesting. And that will take us in a few minutes to our conversation about your new residency program. But let's go back now for a moment. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about very sick children in the hospital, we're talking about, in some cases, chronic diseases, and in some cases, life-threatening diseases. That's a lot of responsibility, isn't it, to get these things right?
Oh, yes, it is. And, you know, certainly in this hospital, as well as many others like it, we have multidisciplinary teams that take care of the children. So we have attending physicians and nurses and pharmacists who contribute to overseeing the safe use medication process.
And let's make clear, you know, we've been talking about the opening of the Children's Hospital later on this year. However, the Children's Hospital really has existed. It just hasn't been its own facility for all this time. So you've been working with these children for a very long time.
Absolutely. Our scope of pediatric services has been around for years, if not decades.
There you go. Now, tell me some of the differences. Now, for instance, say you have a child with diabetes. Mm-hmm. Do you treat that child pharmaceutically different from the way, I mean, besides just lesser amounts, do you treat them differently from an adult with diabetes?
They may sometimes get a different drug therapy Certainly some of the oral medications that we use in diabetes may not be appropriate for a child to take, as we often find challenges in giving oral medicines to children. Most drugs on the market are not approved for children's use, and so their dosage forms are not user-friendly for a younger, smaller child who may need a smaller dose.
You know, that takes me back. We've had conversations before, too, about how there's differentiation going on in the way trials are run and so forth. Mm-hmm. So whereas it used to be that mostly men were tested and then drugs were given to women, they've found now that women process things differently. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the same now with adults and children?
That's certainly the case. We are seeing an increased incidence of children being involved in drug studies, and generally that's a very great benefit, because historically most of our knowledge of drug therapy in children has been based either on anecdotal experience or extrapolation of information that we know from adults. And so really all of these differences that children and pediatric patients have from adults really needs to be teased out in a systematic scientific way. So the FDA is now supporting manufacturers doing clinical trials in children, certainly with an appropriate design, with weighing out the risks and benefits. But if we can scientifically identify the appropriate dose and the risks and benefits of a drug in a child, it's far better than us making an educated guess in that area.
And those educated guesses have led to things like the recent ruling by the FDA, or the recent change in recommendations, that cough medicines not be given to very young children. And you were just here a few weeks ago to talk about that.
Absolutely. Perfect example where, essentially assumption of safety and efficacy, and even assumption of what dose to give a child, was probably more based on anecdotal experience than a controlled trial over the years and decades. And we're now finding that certainly accidental overdoses are contributing to bad outcomes. But even what is a safe and reasonable dose of a given cough cold product in a child is in question.
I can also imagine that your services are being expanded upon every time there is a new drug found for something. For instance, I know that one of the big sections at University Hospital in SUNY Upstate is the children's cancer and blood disorders. And I know new drugs are being discovered. This must be what you're working with those children?
We do participate in that aspect of care. There are a number of drug studies that are involved in treating childhood cancers, and the pharmacist's involvement in reviewing those protocols and making sure that chemotherapy drug doses are appropriate for a given patient is part of the scope of the service that we provide.
Right.
There's certainly a number of other layers of making sure that medication safety occurs with regard to chemotherapy, but we do play a key role in that aspect of care.
And and other than just the amount of the dose, are there other alterations to some of these drugs so children will process them? You mentioned that their kidneys and their livers might not be formed as much as an adult. Do you make adjustments for those kinds of things too?
Sure. We offer suggestions very frequently on alternative drug doses or how often we should give a drug dose to a patient. Little babies less than a month old, very often their kidneys aren't working as well, and so we have to give them a dose that may be less often than an older child or an adult would get. But conversely, and very interestingly, as children get older throughout the single-digit years of life and in early adolescence, their kidneys actually work better than most adults do. And
really?
Sometimes we actually have to give a drug more frequently to an older child and adolescent than an adult would otherwise get. So
really?
there are complexities on both sides of that.
And that's what you're trained to do, of course. You know, one of the other things that we have talked about recently is children and psychiatry and the number of drugs that are being prescribed for children for psychiatric reasons. Is that something you deal with at all?
Well, we do have some aspect of our inpatient care involving patients admitted for psychiatric reasons, and certainly that patient, as well as any other patient that's admitted to the hospital, has their medication profile reviewed by a pharmacist, and every new medication order is reviewed by a pharmacist before they get that medicine. So to that extent, we are involved, but psychiatry is a very focused specialty of practice, equally to pediatrics. So child psychiatry is an even more highly specialized area. So the degree of specialization that we have in that area may be a little bit less than in general pediatric drug therapy.
Because the child psychiatrists are taking care of that corner of it. Let's quickly talk about your new program, because what we've learned this morning is that there really is a lot of specialization going on for children, and it sounds like more so every day. Now you're going to start training residents in this specialty. Talk to us about that.
Sure. Well, we have the current pharmacy education program, as I started talking about before, is a six-year program that students would need to go through. Students graduate, get their Doctor of Pharmacy degree, but we found over the years that that education doesn't always prepare a pharmacist for a clinical practice, especially in a hospital setting such as ours.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are now advanced training programs called residencies, mm-hmm. modeled very much after what student physicians go through. And we have had a pharmacy practice residency program here at Upstate Medical University for about 10 years now, where for a full year after a pharmacist graduates, they go through an intensive training as far as hospital care. And mm-hmm. we're now going to be doing the same thing with pediatric pharmacy practice. Once a pharmacist completes their residency program in the first year, they will have an option to do a second residency program with specialty focus in pediatrics.
Outstanding. It sounds like you're going to be training lots of people for the future of pediatric pharmacy.
We sure hope so.
Well, Dr. Luke Probst, thank you so much for coming by this morning. We've learned a lot about children and pharmaceutical drugs. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
And listeners, we do need to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.